Hey Sam, thanks so much for coming on. Thank you for being here. I'm really pleased for you being here because I really wanted to learn more about ketamine because I first heard of ketamine maybe like I want to say 5, 6 years ago, and that was by people using it recreationally around me. So, you know, Special K Kitty, as they used to call it. So my first question to you is what is ketamine and how does it actually work?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's interesting because ketamine is a ubiquitous drug. It has many different uses. And depending on how you first hear of it, you'll be sure that that's the whole story, but it's only one part of the story. So a lot of people know of it as Special K, as a recreational drug. It is the same that we use in the clinic. That's assuming that you are getting actual ketamine and not a copycat drug or something that's adulterated or maybe has fentanyl in it, right? So there's always risks with illicit drug use, but assuming it's actual ketamine, yeah, it's the same medicine. It's also used as an anesthetic. It's an FDA approved medicine as an anesthetic. It was approved in 1970. So it's been one of the most widely used anesthetics in the world since then. And it continues to be. It's also used as an analgesic, as a pain reliever. So if someone is in the ER, they might get that at times instead of an opioid. And in the last 20 years, it's been really proven by a huge body of research to be really one of the best, if not the best, reliever of depression and other mood disorders through IV infusions in a sub-anesthetic dose and a much smaller amount than is, you know, typically given for sedation. So patients are conscious and awake the entire time. So we use ketamine to treat depression, PTSD, suicidality, OCD, anxiety, and some other mood disorders through these IV infusions. They take about an hour. It's a series of six over 3 weeks, and it has an 83% success rate in our clinic with no long-term side effects, none of the short-term of the conventional medications like SSRIs and other prescription pills. And it really, quite frankly, an amazing treatment.
Hey, everyone. We've been using Furnish Finder for the last 5 years. When it comes to travel nursing assignments or long-term vacations, Furnish Finder is a place to go. One of the most stressful aspects about travel nursing is finding housing. There aren't a lot of sites that offer furnished homes for short-term leasing. Furnish Finder has thousands of furnished properties nationwide to meet your every need. If you're looking for a one-bedroom studio to a three-bedroom family home, Furnished Finder has you covered. Travel with a peace of mind with Furnished Finder. Start your search at furnishedfinder.com. And then a little bit of research. So there's like almost, I want to say, two or three variety of doses with ketamine, where it's like the low dose, the medium dose, and the heavier set dose. We actually had a patient in the hospital where we needed to intubate her, but she had a sternal mass where we were scared that if we deplete her respiratory drive, we thought that she wasn't going to be able to restart it back up. So we actually used ketamine and some other medications to kind of sedate her and try to intubate her. So is that one of the benefits of ketamine where it comes to it doesn't affect the respiratory drive as much as other, like you say, sedatives or analgesics?
Exactly. That is one of its great benefits. It does not affect respiration. It's used a lot in third world countries or in crisis zones where they don't have adequate monitoring because it's so safe and it doesn't affect respiration and some other vital functions in the way that other sedatives or pain relievers do. So yeah, it's actually the most commonly used one still for pediatrics, for children, because it's so safe.
And then when you compare it to our typical SSRIs, the SSRIs, they work on like dopamine, serotonin, so like our monoamines. And ketamine does use a different pathway to facilitate these you could say antidepressant effects. What pathway does it exactly use? What does it affect? Does it affect like neurotransmitter? Does it affect a specific one? How does that actually work like in your brain?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, you know, SSRIs typically affecting serotonin. You know, there's the key neurotransmitters that are generally addressed with prescription pills and treatments up until now has been serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, etc. All of these combined among all the other neurotransmitters only make up about 15% of the brain. Present in about 15% of the brain. The other 85% is the neurotransmitter glutamate. And so ketamine affects glutamate. It's very interesting that prior to this treatment, none of the others have really been focused on glutamate, despite the fact that it's present in 85% of the brain. It's the most abundant neurotransmitter we have. And so ketamine affects it in a variety of ways, but one of the key ones is it's an NMDA receptor antagonist. That's the N-methyl-D-aspartate receptor. By blocking it, it causes an increase in the neurotransmitter glutamate, which low levels of it are associated with low mood function, issues with sleep, et cetera. So it really helps in that way. It also helps to promote BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which actually is a protein. It can help to increase physical growth in parts of the brain, like the prefrontal cortex and areas that are involuted or have actually shrunken due to depression and other mood disorders. So ketamine is not just treating the symptoms, it's actually getting at the root cause of a lot of these issues in the brain, helping to increase dendrite density and connectivity, improve neuroplasticity, and promote new neural pathways being formed in the brain. So this can help to create new, healthier ways of being and thinking and kind of hit the reset button on negative patterns that start to get really embedded in our personality and who we become as they persist for long enough. And then on the other side of things, one of the other things that makes ketamine really unique is it really has a very powerful effect on the mind, not just the brain. There's a psychological experience going on. Ketamine's a dissociative anesthetic, but really it's also a psychedelic. And when you're getting it in our clinic in this way, it really is a psychedelic effect. So with that comes new insight, realizations about yourself, the people in your life, these patterns that I've mentioned, and an opportunity to see them from an outside lens, a different perspective, this kind of detachment of mind and body. And that insight can be really valuable for patients. It also allows them to revisit prior trauma without having as much of a triggered or an emotional response to it. So memories that were in the past maybe too painful to revisit or that had been repressed can actually be worked through in ways that can be really conducive to people getting closure around them because they're able to kind of reprocess them. And so these are some of the really meaningful effects of ketamine that are really unique to it.
Yeah, when you say that, it reminds me of, because I did a few mushroom trips before and it really allowed me to look at things in like a different way. Like you're thinking about the same things, but you're thinking about them in like a different way. And even my friends have noticed that, like when they're going through different struggles, they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And using and going on like a mushroom trip or maybe even some like LSD, it allows them to like look at something in a different perspective. So they're not repeating the same thing over and over and over again, because I feel like you have a link between like your actions and emotions and your memories. It's all linked to something. So you have like a bad memory, it brings out feelings of sadness. And I feel like sometimes when you do the psychedelics, you're able to maybe change how you feel about that certain memory or certain like thought process. So it seems to me like ketamine is very similar in the sense of like psilocybin, where you're going through a trip. So when people come to your clinic, are they going through like a trip, or is it maybe something less like you said, like a microdose of psilocybin? Is it like a similar feeling to that?
Yeah, we don't like to describe it as a trip per se. It's really, you know, it's an experience for sure. They are altered. They are having this kind of dissociative or psychedelic-like effect. I think the word trip kind of is so commonly associated with recreational use or fun or yeah, let's trip. Yeah, I'm tripping out. Let's go on a trip, whatever. So we try not to frame it in that way, but yeah, there's a lot of similarity there. It's not a microdose. It is a perceptible dose. You feel altered. You know, for those who may not know who are listening, a microdose really means an imperceptible dose that you're not actually feeling very different from the amount that you take, which is commonly done with psilocybin, even though it's not legal in the United States for recreational use. And there's really not a lot of data behind it. We're just now starting to do some really cool research around psilocybin, and there's some great progress being made there. And it will probably be a clinical treatment in the next several years. But ketamine is FDA approved, and it has been for over 50 years. And it's available in a variety of settings in clinical offices today. So people can benefit from it legally from with medical supervision, whereas psilocybin has great potential. And anecdotally, I know that it has helped a lot of people, but they can't really legitimately work with the doctor on it. And then, of course, with doing anything that's on the black market, there's going to be risks as far as quality, potency, legal ramifications, et cetera, and safety concerns. So those are just some things for people to be aware of. But as far as what you're pointing out, the overlap and the ability to kind of reframe, reprocess, you're right on the money there. They both really promote neuroplasticity. They both promote, you know, neurogenesis. They both can really help to disrupt these patterns, these negative ways of being, and give us an opportunity to kind of start fresh, which is really meaningful. And it's something we haven't seen in other treatments for mental health up until more recent times.
What I really like about ketamine, maybe you could share some more light on this, is when you think about the SSRIs or other medication we use for mental health, is you got to take that pill basically every single day. A lot of times it takes like 3 months for this SSRI to start working, like Prozac, all those kind of things. It takes time for it to start working, and it's like you're almost dependent every single day on this pill. So with ketamine, it's like you get it infused once every couple of weeks or once every couple of months. Is that how it works? So you're not so dependent on having this pill, and it's like, if I don't take this pill, you know, it's going to kind of screw me over in the long run. It kind of means more of like a once in a while kind of medication, correct?
Yeah, so we do a series of six infusions over 3 weeks, and then it's as needed after that. So patients can go typically 3 months before they need any follow-up care, which is usually just one or two more infusions. It's not another series of six. And that one or two boosters, we call them, can provide another 3 months of relief, sometimes longer. We've seen patients go 4, 5, 6 months or longer in between visits, and they're not taking any other medications, and they're doing great. A lot of people are tired of taking these pills every day. They're tired of the side effects like weight gain, loss of libido, dry mouth, blurred vision, increased suicidal thoughts, and a whole list of other really negative side effects. Ketamine has none of those. None of those side effects are present. And yeah, you're right on the money there that for somebody who wants a more kind of holistic view of really trying to get more at the root cause of their issues and not just cover the symptoms, can really benefit from going through this experience and then coming back as needed to maintain their result and not being dependent on a drug daily. And ketamine works within hours to days. It doesn't take the 6 weeks, 8 weeks plus that these other medications take to come to a therapeutic effect. So people see results much faster and they're not kind of stuck taking something every day that over time can really start to cause harm and also be very difficult to stop taking. As you know, when people are trying to wean off of these medications, they can have terrible withdrawal symptoms, and it can take a very long time. I mean, sometimes many, many months or even over a year, depending on what the medicine is and how high of a dose you're on. That process sometimes needs to be extremely gradual. We're talking about prescription pills right now, right? Before you can stop taking it in a safe manner.
So then, why is it that with ketamine you don't have to dose it every day like a typical SSRI? Is it because that breakthrough experience is just so strong where people can be fine with not going through it every day? Is it because it's not necessarily changing your brain chemistry and that's like the solution? It's the solution is more of like those breakthrough effect where you're changing your mind, so you're changing your ideas.
It's both. Ketamine really has a tremendous impact on both the brain and the mind while the medicine is in the system. And that effect lasts long after it's gone. With SSRIs and other prescriptions, they're only good once they've reached a therapeutic blood level, which, as we've addressed, takes time. And it has to be maintained. You're continuing to benefit from the drug while it's in your system. And as soon as the drug stops being in the system, you stop benefiting. That's because it really is covering more of the symptoms. Ketamine has these processes that we've described on the brain and on the mind that are profound, that are really meaningful, and they persist for months or longer. So that's some of the differences, both in changing the neurochemistry and also in changing the mindset for people to really start to have their lives back. And ketamine also has a very short half-life. The medicine is actually out of the body within, a matter of hours or a day. I mean, I think the half-life is around like 4 to 6 hours. So it's really like, it's not like the drug stays in the system and then, that is what's doing the work. It's what happens during the infusion experience that's meaningful and that has the staying power.
And then when it comes to your clinic, can you explain to me like the whole team of people? Because I've never been to a ketamine clinic. I never really experienced a ketamine clinic or had any patients that went to one. Is it just you have a physician and you have a nurse infusing it, or is it like a psychiatrist involved? How does it like look? It's just say I'm coming into your office and I'm having my first ketamine trials or my first ketamine doses. How does that look? What do you guys do? Is there like an assessment that they do? Is it just like question based? How does that all work and look?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different models across different kinds of practices. The way that ours works is a little unique, but we have a really wonderful team of 17 people. We have two board certified psychiatrists. We have a psych NP, that's a nurse practitioner. We have a psych physician assistant. We have a team of RNs, registered nurses, for those listening who might not know. We have a whole admin team. So we're really a large team providing really individualized care with lots of personal attention to every patient. The process is if you call, you talk about your situation, help us to decide whether or not it might be a good fit for you. Then we would schedule a consultation with one of our providers, being the physician or one of the psych NPs. We'll do a more of a clinical kind of intake with you over the phone. If it's determined based on reviewing your treatment history and answering your questions and all that, that you're a good fit, we'd schedule you to come in. And then when you come in, there's a good amount of paperwork, getting a more comprehensive history on you. We do a brief physical exam, and then we would start the treatment. And that would be starting an IV, making you comfortable in a recliner, giving you pillows, blankets, noise canceling headphones, really relaxing music, a sleep mask, helping to make you really comfortable and relaxed, and then monitoring you with hospital grade monitoring equipment during your infusion. We monitor for pulse ox, EKG, and blood pressure. So we make sure that patients are safe as well as comfortable the entire time. And the medical team is extremely compassionate, very attentive, and they're constantly helping to make sure that the experience is good for people. And it's a huge range. Some infusions, someone might laugh the entire time. Maybe they haven't laughed in a long time. Maybe they just needed to get it out of their system. Maybe they felt tickled by realizations they were having. Sometimes people cry for an hour. Same thing, maybe they've been holding it all in for so long and they just had to finally have that release that they needed. Or they went through some things in their mind that made them feel sad, but it's a part of the healing process, And more commonly, people are laying there quiet and there's not a lot to see from the outside, but there's a lot going on internally. They could be going on some wild adventure in their mind, flying through different worlds in the universe, the cosmos. Maybe they connect with, God or what they perceive the spiritual realm to be. It's such a wide variety. The mind is limitless. Of where people go and what happens for them when they're, having an infusion. And that experience really is outside of language. It's very hard for people to try to describe what it was like, but it's really impactful for most people.
Yeah, I remember doing some mushroom recreational with my friends, and then I always really enjoyed looking at them and seeing what they're going through and how they're reacting, because some of my friends had an amazing time, but One of my friends, it took him like 3 or 4 times to actually like kind of like break through, because every experience that he had, it was super scary. It was so scary to the point where every time, you know, we talk about doing it, you could see like a little bit of fear in him, because he doesn't want to go through it again. It's almost like, as person, this buddy of mine was a little bit stubborn, and it's like he was a little hard-headed. So it's like, you know, I know you're having a bad experience, but it's still trying to show you something. This thing that you had going through in your mind, it is scary, but you need to kind of learn from it. Like, why are you going through these bad things? What are you trying to fight? What are you trying to hide? What is this kind of almost like showing you? What is like your almost subconscious trying to show you about yourself that you just don't want to let go? So it was really cool seeing like some of my friends having the best time of my life, and then my other friends having such a scary time. But then it's also so wonderful seeing them finally like break through. You're like, whatever, like you just see the like tension get released, and it's like, okay, see, now you know why this happened, and now you finally realize like what's going on. And after that, they've been having like good times with it. So it's like, it's crazy to see that, where you see people sometimes struggling with it, and then they like break through, and then you see that they just get relaxed and their mood changes. You're just like, wow. So, you know, this actually does some benefit, because I see you as a changed person now. And it's crazy how it happened after like 3 or 4 times of us doing this, where I seen you struggling in life and I seen you struggling while on mushrooms, and then you finally get that breakthrough, and now you're not struggling as much in life, and you're having like a good time on the mushrooms. It's crazy how that correlates. So do you find any joy from that? Do you sit with patients and like kind of look at them through their experience?
Yeah, I mean, we have this kind of concept that there's no such thing as a bad trip, you know, and that difficult is not the same as bad, and kind of helping to reframe that. So with what you're talking about, sometimes, yeah, these experiences can reveal things to us that can be troubling at times or challenging, you know, and especially with other psychedelics like psilocybin or mushrooms, it can be even more powerful in that way. Because one of the things that's kind of nice and a little bit different about ketamine is, especially in the dosages that we're using, is people retain their executive function usually pretty well. They have an awareness that they're having an experience, an infusion. So there's a little bit of and also they can kind of open their eyes and look around and reorient themselves to the room and feel a little more grounded in ways that can be very comforting. Whereas with mushrooms or acid, LSD, you know, it can really kind of overwhelm you sometimes with the visuals or the way that you're affected by it, to the point where you kind of lose touch with what you're doing or what's going on. And it's just really overwhelming. So, I mean, ketamine can do that, typically not in the doses that we're using. But yeah, you know, sometimes difficult material comes up, and that's a part of the process. And we encourage people to work through that, and we support them in it. And yeah, difficult and bad are not the same. And there was actually a study done, and the majority of people who have what they would otherwise characterize as bad trips had gotten really good value from them afterwards. So while it might not have been pleasant at the time, they got benefits from it. And we really like for patients to have a pleasant experience. We work hard for that. And most of them do. And most of them really enjoy the infusion process. But even when that isn't the case, there's healing that can occur.
And during the infusion process, is there somebody maybe guiding the patient? Are they asking the questions? Or is it just more of like this introspective thing where the patient goes through and you just kind of leave them as is and have them figure it out?
Yeah, we're there for support if needed, but we don't want to be guiding. It's not our place to try to direct them to do or not do anything aside from keeping them safe. That inner work, that inner journey is really important. And a lot of times that intention is simply to be open and to trust, to relax, to allow whatever needs to come up to come up. The medicine and the subconscious has a really amazing way of driving the car where it needs to go. And I think so much of the ego and the conscious mind and our defense mechanisms want us to be in control, want us to choose, guide, steer, whatever. And get things right for those of us who might be perfectionistic. I don't want to do this wrong. At the end of the day, that's all really noise. And if you can just trust and be open, things are going to come up that need to. Just like with your friend eating the mushrooms. You know, I'm sure he wasn't intending to have these hard times, but there was something going on that he needed to face that he was avoiding. And that, you know, that's the kind of cool thing about mushrooms too. They're going to show you whether you want to see it or not. That's what they do.
It's for sure. I always found it interesting because, like, you know, I tried LSD, I've tried the mushrooms, and it's almost like, for me, you know, for my friends, it's like you take the LSD, but it's almost like you're guiding yourself. But when you do the mushrooms, it's like the mushrooms take you wherever they want to take you, and then you kind of just figure out the steps along the way. And I actually really like that you guys don't guide anything, because it's almost like very empowering if you just let the person figure it out themselves, because it's almost like you're showing them whatever I need to figure out is already within me. And just by them taking it in, taking the steps, moving forward, moving through their experience, it's almost like they're learning about themselves that, hey, whatever is going through my life, I have the power to change it. I have the power to fix it. I could have a different outlook without necessarily needing anyone's help. Because I feel like sometimes when people are going through a lot of things, they get dependent on things. They get dependent on drugs, you know, maybe they get dependent on people, and they're never given the chance or opportunity to just figure things out by themselves. And I feel like if you can figure things out by yourself, it just shows you how strong of a person you are, strong, and how strong of a mind you have, that you could get yourself in any kind of situation, and it translates to every part of your life. You don't necessarily are dependent on anything, because you realize that, hey, whatever needs to be fixed, I can do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we really like to empower patients to be participating in their own healing, and to know that, I mean, we all have our own inner healer, and that kind of inner wisdom that we so many of us have, you know, kind of tuned out or become less sensitive to, is always there. And to kind of return to that and to be empowered that you can really help participate in your own healing, and you have a lot of wisdom inside, you know, is a great, great way to go about it, for sure. And I think too many people look for a quick fix, or for someone else to fix them, or a doctor, or they just think, I'll pop this pill and everything will be better, or I'll go see a specialist and they'll fix me. And that just is the westernized idea of medicine that has not served us. We've seen it over the last 30, 40, 50 years, how it's failed us, especially where mental health is concerned. And I think people are waking up to taking a little more ownership of their mental health and realizing that, yes, there are resources and there's support and there's guidance. Ultimately, people have to participate in their own healing.
Yeah, like Jocko Willink said, you got to take ownership. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jocko Willink, but he's this Marine guy that always, you know, he always preached, like, you know, you got to take ownership of everything. When it comes to ketamine, is this for people with mild depression, severe depression, like severe PTSD? Can somebody maybe that has like mild depression try it? Because I had this one listener, she was going through a very bad postpartum depression, and all basically she was getting is just she was being put on different pills and trying to figure out what dosage are working, as was like 2 or 3 years of this postpartum depression, and she like still can't figure it out. And she even reached out to me, this was maybe like 8 months ago, maybe like a year ago, on my recommendation of like what she could use, because she listens to one of our podcasts and we talk about psychedelics and all that kind of stuff. So she was reaching out to us and asking like, hey, do you recommend like ketamine? Do you recommend certain infusions? So who is ketamine specifically for? Is it people that have really stubborn depression where they just can't get rid of it with meds? Or is it for people that are just maybe going through a little bit of hardship, they could try and go through it and feel better? Who is it specifically for?
Yeah, that makes me sad to hear about that listener. Yeah, this is amazing for postpartum depression. And too many pregnant women also suffer from depression while they're pregnant. And they can't really take SSRIs because of the risk to the unborn child, and they suffer. And then there's concerns after they give birth about transference through the breast milk. And a mother who's disengaged from her newborn is just really terrible for the mother and the child, for, you know, the other partner, the father. I mean, everyone involved, it can be really, really bad long-term effects. So Ketamine works quickly, safely. It does not, there is no proof that it would cause harm to the child. It's unknown. Those studies are very complicated to try to do, right? For obvious reasons. But SSRIs are proven to cause problems. Ketamine, it's kind of unknown, but the half-life is so short and it has such a different mechanism of action. There's a lot of good basis for using ketamine. If not during pregnancy, then at least for postpartum, no question. There's been some interesting studies on ketamine for postpartum depression specifically that have shown really, really positive results. So I would definitely advise any woman who's going through that to try ketamine, and of course needs to consult with a physician and review her specific situation. But suffering for years like that just doesn't make any sense at all. It's really good for various types of other forms of depression, bipolar depression, unipolar, could be minimal to moderate, could be severe. Doesn't have to be really bad cases for people to benefit. PTSD, anxiety, OCD, suicidal thinking, among others. A lot of people hear about it and think of it as a radical treatment, and that they really, it's only for people who are really in a bad way and they're not bad enough yet, and maybe they'll wait and see. I really want to discourage that kind of thinking. We have a solution that works 83% of the time with none of the side effects in a matter of hours to days. It's available now. If you're suffering, don't suffer anymore. Period. If you have a clinical diagnosis, you're a candidate. There's almost no exclusion criteria. We don't see schizophrenic patients. We don't see some types of personality disorders. We don't see people who are actively manic or actively psychotic. Pretty much everyone else is welcome. And there, you don't have to have a long history of suffering or be super severe in order to benefit. Most of our patients are of the treatment-resistant category in the sense that they've tried and not benefited from at least two or more conventional treatments before they come to us. But that's not necessarily something that people should have to go through.
And said, what about like ADHD or even like epileptic disorders? Is there any research done on effects of ketamine on those people, or is it majority focused on like depressive issues?
I don't know, I've never heard of anything with epileptic disorders. With ADHD, I think it would help. I'm not aware of much research there. But I've talked with some people who have tried it in other contexts, more outside of a clinical setting, and said it helped with their ADHD. That's very, very anecdotal, right? But it really helps to quiet the default mode network. Ketamine helps to quiet the chatter and the noise in the mind. You know, it helps to kind of make people more centered, more connected to themselves. It enhances neuroplasticity and brain function in the ways that we've already talked about. So if ADHD is related to neurons kind of firing and wiring together in ways that aren't conducive to your focus and your ability to get things done that you need to, if it's a result of agitation or even trauma from the past, and this is a trauma response, I don't know. Obviously, everyone's different. ADHD is complex. I don't pretend to be an expert on that particular condition. But if some of these things are a part of the picture, then it would make sense that ketamine would help with it. That being said, again, I'm not really aware of much research having been done in that area, but it would be interesting to see for sure. I can tell you that we've had autistic patients who came in for issues with mood, but actually found that their function and their autism was improved by it in the sense that not only their mood, but they were able to socialize and verbalize better and had better self-control. We've had patients with a traumatic brain injury, TBI, who came in again, not to treat the TBI, but for their depression or their PTSD that was related to that. And a added benefit was actually better cognitive function, better memory, and some of the symptoms of the specifically of the TBI that were improved upon. So there's a lot of really interesting stuff to be said. And I think, you know, for some people listening and other critics might say, oh, like they're just saying it works for everything. You know, the reality is so many of these conditions are related to the same processes in the brain. I really think we're moving in a direction where we're starting to recognize them more as symptoms of the same thing and not just individual separate illnesses, because a lot of this stuff stems from trauma. And trauma can be what a lot of us think about when we think of it as far as violence, you know, guns, war, assault, et cetera. But trauma can manifest in many, many other ways for many people. I would say probably most people have experienced at least some type of trauma, and it's often something in childhood. And that can manifest itself in different ways with different symptoms. And those some symptoms, I think, sometimes are called like their own separate thing, but really they're just a result of that, right? So it does make sense that ketamine can help with so many different mood disorders if this kind of understanding of what this is all about is true. And if it's really enhancing brain function and it's really helping to create new neural pathways and helping to disrupt negative ways of being and thinking, how could that not help all of these different types of challenges that people are having? And it does. And it's clinically proven for many of them. And we see it firsthand. We've done 25,000 infusions in a decade, been open since 2014. We're one of the first clinics in the country. And also there's about 170 studies that have been done, around 80 of them completed with results published by leading institutions. So it's really important that listeners understand this is not just some interesting possibility. I mean, this is proven through it, like I said, a decade of our experience being dedicated to it, and also a substantial body of scientific literature by all of the leading institutions, USC, UCLA, Johns Hopkins, Yale, Stanford, Harvard, you know, National Institute of Mental Health, Cleveland Clinic. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Is it because ketamine is more of a drug that it's almost to me like it produces more of like a systemic effect than like a real specific one, like for certain SSRIs where they just affect serotonin reuptake or they block that pathway, so there's more serotonin flooding. To me, it seems like ketamine has more of like a systemic unknown effect in a way. Is that have any validity?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, SSRIs are kind of a band-aid over a gaping wound, you know, and they're treating symptoms. And ketamine is really getting at the source of the issue. You know, ketamine is cleaning it out and suturing it closed and putting proper wound care on it. It's just a night and day difference, I think, in what's going on, again, in the processes in the brain and also the personal experience that can be really profound. So yeah, it's not really apples to apples for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Sam, can you explain to me what a K-hole is?
Yeah, so a K-hole is when people have too much ketamine. It's almost always associated with recreational use. Ketamine is a sedative. It's an anesthetic. So when people do too much, they get to a point where the world kind of closes in on them and it narrows like tunnel vision. And it almost is like dark, you know, like there's, you can't, your peripheral vision, you know, it starts to almost put you out. And it can be really scary. You know, you don't have hardly any coordination of your body. You can't, you're not steady on your feet. Maybe you can't even move. If you're up, you know, vertical, you might fall over. You can't really walk. You can't coordinate your movements. You can't speak. And it can be really scary for a lot of people. And, you know, the dissociative effects of ketamine are a spectrum. And there's a huge range in between a sub perceptible amount or microdose and being fully sedated for surgery. And a K-hole is definitely closer onto the surgery side, where it just kind of starts to shut down some of your voluntary and at a certain point, maybe even some of your involuntary bodily functions. And it's generally not regarded as a pleasant experience by anyone. And so people who I talked to who thought they were doing a line of coke one time and it ended up being K, or these kinds of stories you hear, often report getting to that point, because the amount of cocaine that you would do for recreation is probably 10 times the amount that you would in one dose that you would do of ketamine for recreation. So you hear about these kinds of funny stories and mix-ups when I talk to so many different people. They go, oh, yeah, I did it one time by accident, you know, and stuff like that. And that's what can happen.
Yeah.
People don't get to that point in our clinic. But, yeah, that's what a care hole is.
So it's basically due to the dissociative effect. And that's like, you know, you do it too much, the more like a chance of you getting those dissociative effects.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have a dissociative effect, but that's getting more into a sedative effect, into an almost like anesthetic level kind of, you know, you start to shut down.
Yeah.
And it can be scary, really disorienting and confusing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've seen a few people go through it, you know, and they just, it's almost like they fall over and everyone's like, you know, they're okay, they're in a K-hole. And I was actually watching, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Kill Tony. It's like it's a live comedy show, you could say. And like during one episode, is actually somebody going through like a K-hole during their whole thing, and they're talking about it. And it like blew my mind, because it's, you know, people do it recreationally, you know. There's a safe way to do it, and there's, you know, a not safe way to do it. It is what it is. You just gotta be careful with those things. So, and I've actually seen people like in person go through it, and it's a pretty intense thing. It's just like, whoa, like it looks super scary to the outside person that maybe has never, you know, been in like a circle where, you know, drugs are being used. It's a very scary thing. So I was always curious on what the hell actually happens when somebody goes through these K-holes, because I hear it's like, okay, they're going through a K-hole, they're fine, you know, and it kind of is what it is. But it doesn't last long, right? They come out of it usually fine, and then it's only lasts a few minutes.
No, it depends on how you've taken the ketamine and how much, because people usually snort it when they take it recreationally, but some people use it IM as well, you know, intramuscularly, and they inject it into the muscle. And then that's a slower rate of absorption. And also it's going to last longer and take more time to get out of the body, because when you squirt a bunch of it into the muscle, it's gradually goes into the bloodstream from there. And it can happen actually rather quickly, but not as quickly as snorting it, which is like into the lungs and then through the bloodstream, like real fast, you know, like within a minute or less. But no, it can last. I mean, it can last an hour, can last an hour and a half, and then gradually wear off. When you come out of it, it's not like you just snap out of it and you're fine. You might start to feel like you're back, coming back, but then you're really out of it still for a while, you know? So the actual K-hole could be an hour, hour and a half. And then you might have a couple hours before you feel even more semi okay again, you know? So yeah, it can definitely mess up your day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Cause I was thinking like a DMT trip. A DMT trip is very quick, and then you come out of it, you know, fairly quickly. So I was thinking it's almost like the same thing, where it's only like a few minutes, but if you're telling me if it lasts like an hour, you know, it could last an hour, that's like super intense. That's super scary.
Yeah. I mean, DMT is known to be one of the most powerful psychedelics in the world, but also one of the shortest acting, right? Like a 10 or 15 minute trip. But people often say that during that time, it might've felt like a lifetime. So it's so interesting about how our perception of time is altered with psychedelics. And that's the thing, 15 minutes doesn't really matter that much if you feel like you just live like a whole life in that time, you know. It's to you, that's a long time. But yeah, it can definitely last. And also I wanted to say, like what you mentioned, sometimes like someone would do it and then they might fall over or something. That's where it can get really dangerous. And depending on where you are and what you're doing, you know, if you're in a place where somebody could be a predator, could take advantage of you, you know, whether that be sexually or rob you or assault you in another way, or you could be in a crowded, at a party or an event or somewhere, you might get trampled by people. I've heard stories of people literally falling over and hitting their head. So you got to be really careful with this stuff. You got to know what you're doing. I don't advocate for recreational drug use. I don't advocate for people to do ketamine on their own. There's a lot of risks to it. I'm just having a candid chat with you now about some of these questions just to educate people on it. But if I will say, I do believe in harm reduction. And if people are going to do it, I'm just letting you know, you got to be really smart and safe. A lot of drugs have fentanyl in it nowadays. That stuff can kill you so fast. Smaller amount than a grain of rice in your bag can kill you. No question. We've seen that more and more over the last few years, which is really unfortunate. There's also a lot of designer drugs out there that are copycat versions of other common drugs. So you might get something that's similar effects of ketamine, but it's not ketamine. That might have much worse side effects or higher risks, or like a worse come down, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it. I would say ultimately just be smart, be safe, know where your stuff comes from, test it. You can get fentanyl test strips easily for free in a lot of places. So test your drugs, do it with people you trust. If you don't know how it's going to affect you, do it in a controlled environment and private at least once or more than once before you go and do it at a big festival or an event. Don't drive a car. Just be smart. Don't do stuff where you're going to put yourself in a bad spot.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with you, Sam. When it comes to your clinic, are you guys just located in LA, or are you guys expanding somewhere else? Are you guys going maybe national, or is it just more of like a LA, California things? I know I'm in Illinois, I'm in Chicago. I know there are some ketamine clinics around me, but regarding your clinic, you guys just based in LA, or are you guys on more locations?
Yeah, so currently we have one location in Los Angeles on the west side of Culver City. We've moved several times over the years to larger and larger spaces. Our current office is about 5,000 square feet, so it's a good sized office. We've avoided having multiple locations for a lot of reasons, mostly just to maintain quality control, you know, and really favoring quality over quantity. You know, once you get 2, 3, 4 places going, man, it's hard to keep everybody on the same page with policies and procedures and oversight and making sure everyone's doing good quality work. And, you know, the care is consistent. This isn't like a Subway restaurant that you could standardize how you put the spread on the bread and where you slap the meat, you know, and teach people. This is high level stuff. This is very, very sensitive work treating people for mental health. It's really difficult to kind of standardize and scale. And I think that's something that we've done very well, actually, in house. We would have had another site, except we added additional services in the last year. So we now also provide medication management, you know, conventional psychiatry, management of people's prescriptions. We also are now providing transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS. And these are other treatments we've added to provide more comprehensive care. And with them, we can accept insurance. So we're now paneled with 10 of the largest payers in California. So a lot of this evolution and change in the way that we're structured of going from, you know, just a ketamine clinic to a comprehensive mental health center has required a lot more working out of the kinks of new policies and procedures and staffing to figure this stuff out, because these are new services and they require a lot of change. Had we not done that, we would have definitely had another location at this point, because I feel like we really did get down the ketamine side of things very tight, because we've been doing it full time for a decade. But the plan right now is to kind of smooth out some of these new services. And then once we feel good about that, to go and do it all in other places and probably Southern California and beyond after that.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are offering more services, because even though ketamine seems like a great idea, it's not always a one size fits all kind of thing, especially for people. You know, we're not machines. You can't just keep, you know, standardizing everything. It's everyone comes from a different background. Everyone is helped in a different way versus the hospital, where you try to standardize every single thing. I like the idea that you guys are doing more things. Sam, if anybody wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
So ketamineclinics.com. That's ketamineclinics.com. Lots of good information on there. You can fill out a contact form on the website, or you can just call us 310-270-0625. All inquiries are confidential, no obligation. We're always happy to talk. We have really wonderful staff. They're knowledgeable. They're compassionate. We also offer free consultations with our providers. So you can speak with the front desk and then be scheduled to speak with a clinician, a psychiatrist, or a psych NP. and they can talk about your treatment history with you, answer your questions. There's no charge for that, no obligation. And again, it's confidential. So definitely encourage people to look at the website. And if they want to connect, so just reach out to us.
Okay. I know you guys also got an Instagram. Can you plug
yeah.
your Instagram for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Thanks for that. Yeah. So Ketamine Clinics LA on all social media. Ketamine Clinics LA. We're active on all the platforms. And for me personally, if you want to find me, it's the Sam Mandel. And that's just the word, the TheSamMandel. And I'm also pretty active on all the platforms. That's the handle across all of them. And I'm passionate about disseminating accurate information about this treatment and providing other resources for mental health. And I'd love to hear from you, especially if you found any value in this. I love to talk about it. It's really nice to hear that somebody somewhere loves to hear me talk about it. If that's you, let me know.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Sam. Thank you once again. I really appreciate all the knowledge you've shared and widen our, you could say, scope of practice and widen our mindset and the way we think about mental health and future treatment and current treatment. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation. Thank you.
Oh, I gotta go. I've been working, told them please don't hit my phone. I'm in my zone, bro, just leave me alone. Was on the road, but I swear I'm coming home. Now the drinks on me, I think we need a toast. See, I did it for me. Now my